across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It is Monday, June 19th, 7:06 in the morning. Nice to have you along. Coming up in this hour, the childcare crisis can't just be wished away. Providers are not letting a middle-of-the-night vote by some Republican legislators stop them from trying to rescue a vital program that addresses the state's labor shortage as well. They're joining parents and business leaders in putting pressure on lawmakers to restore the Child Care Counts program that the Joint Finance Committee killed in the middle of the night late last week. That's part of a two-part Motherhood Monday segment that we've got coming up. We will also talk with somebody from Moms Demand Action, because legislators would also need to hear from you if some very popular gun safety measures were finally going to pass out of the legislature. Aaron Zomers is with us in Madison as well. And Aaron, it's Roger to the rescue once again. Our friend Roger, who follows us on Facebook and puts comments on there, notes that Michael Jackson's Bad LP did have 5 number one hit singles, and he lists them for us: Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel, Man in the Mirror, Dirty Diana, and I Just Can't Stop Loving You. Meanwhile, Thriller only had 2 number one singles, Billie Jean and Beat It.
So I guess even if you don't have a million number one singles, you can still be the number one album.
Absolutely. Yes. It's nice to remind us that there's sometimes a big difference between the charts. And Roger, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. I know that it's not raining down there where you are. So I probably look a little silly in just how much I'm taking in and loving this rain. Last night, my wife and I went to dinner, and we had to park a little farther away from the Wissota Lodge on Little Lake Wissota. But we actually walked probably more slowly in a steady rain than we ever have, because after a month or more with virtually no rain, it just felt good to walk in the rain again. I mean, you kind of miss it after all. You before, when there's too much, it's like, oh, it's another rainy day. But we are totally at the point now where any rain feels good.
I would walk in the rain more often if I didn't have glasses, because that's the one thing that's really annoying.
That is true. Yes. So, and they still haven't, you know, really perfected the little windshield wipers, you know, that would go on those things. But there continues to be a large area of rain. It's eventually moving its way out of the state. Basically, the northwest corner of the state has that going on right now. But I still have the top down on the Jeep. It was a beautiful day for driving on Saturday. And Aaron, I believe we're looking at a very hot, dry week throughout. I don't think we're going to be seeing any rain for a while.
Gross.
I know. And that's where, you know, we'll talk to Jennifer Wojcicki coming up in just a little bit, I believe, from Weatherology to tell us a bit more about the full details of the forecast. You may note as well that today is a federal holiday. This is Juneteenth, the third time that it's been celebrated. And that, of course, is to note the day in 1865 when the last known group of slaves was freed weeks after the Civil War had ended, and bringing a near end to that original sin of America's founding. And yet it's still a topic that, you know, teaching history about the Civil War and racial injustice and so forth, still a hot topic today. If you missed it in the last hour, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss telling the state Republican convention that he's ashamed to be an alumnus of the UW system because of the UW having offices and positions dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that he called that the most important problem facing the state. I don't know that that's necessarily so, but I think he had a case of convention brain where you let your partisan politics get in the way of common sense. I mean, it's not a big surprise. You had at the convention a video message from Donald Trump where he repeated his lie. I know news reports say false claim. No, it's a lie. He repeated the lie that he won Wisconsin in 2020, and it drew loud cheers from the crowd that was in attendance, showing that Trump still has some strong support among the active base of the voters. Trump reportedly said in the video message, "I love that state. We won it the first time and we won it the second time." And no, he did not. He won it very narrowly in 2016. He lost it very narrowly in 2020. And recounts and audits and court rulings have all shown that Joe Biden won the state. It didn't stop Trump from creating a fraudulent slate of fake electors in Wisconsin and other states as part of a conspiracy that could have overturned the election or attempted to, and otherwise sown chaos in our national government if Trump had had his way. Trump's comments led the crowd to break into chants of four more years. There were also short video addresses from some other Republican hopefuls, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and others talked to the crowd. And so what you didn't get was any sense from Trump's critics, of which there are many, many of whom were like in his cabinet, who worked most closely with him, who said, "We've worked with him. You can't trust this guy." That contingent, not very well represented at the state Republican convention. All right, let's take a break. We'll get some sports, our weatherology forecast, and then a two-part Motherhood Monday about gun safety and the Child Care Counts program coming up next. You're up north. Again, this is for Ann Wilson of Park, who turns 73 years old today. All right, the Milwaukee Brewers had better weeks last week. They had a six-game losing streak coming into the weekend and were facing the Pittsburgh Pirates. Had it not gone well, they would have been well behind the Pirates in the National League Central. Instead, they swept Pittsburgh over the weekend, winning yesterday 5-2 to hang on to sole possession of first place. Corbin Burnes will pitch tonight as the Arizona Diamondbacks come to town for games tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon before the Brewers begin a long road trip. All right, well, as mentioned, the rain was glorious. It just feels amazing. It's also rather short-lived because it looks like a pretty hot week lies ahead of us. And Jennifer Wachiski from Weatherology joins us now to tell us more about it. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it looks like today we can expect to see sunny or becoming mostly sunny skies for most today. A slight chance for an isolated shower in the late afternoon hours around Wausau with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing there. Highs today in the mid to low 80s for most, upper 70s closer to Lake Michigan. So it's actually going to be either at or even slightly above average across the board. A high pressure system settles into control for the week. So it's really going to be just a very similar forecast from day to day. Tuesday, sunny with highs in the mid to low 80s, primarily a few outliers getting into the upper 80s around Richland Center and Amory, still in the upper 70s near the lakefront. Wednesday, sunny highs in the 80s, upper 70s around Milwaukee still, essentially the same expected for your Thursday. Then by Friday, fairly similar for most, still sunny with highs in the 80s, but in west central Wisconsin around Amory and Baldwin, starting to look at a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms coming in by the afternoon hours with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing there.
All right, Jen, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll just continue to follow throughout the week and appreciate having the details. Have a great day.
You too.
There's Jennifer Wachiski from Weatherology. Let's see. It is 62 degrees in Woodruff right now, 61 in Neillsville, 64 in Juneau, 65 degrees up here on Lake Wasota. All right, let's do a twofer. No, it's not two for Tuesday. It's a two for Monday, but it's worthwhile to have two segments of Motherhood for Good because there are two very important topics that we want to tackle today. And so in doing, let's bring in Kate Duffy, as always, from Motherhood for Good, and Emily Tyne as well. Kate, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good, good. You made it back. Nicole is on vacation. You were on vacation. Can I quote you accurately that you did return from vacation and no toddlers like ran over cliffs or anything like that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Everybody made it home safe and sound, but yeah, we just got back from a family vacation in North Carolina. I have an almost 3-year-old who is very fun, but so wild. And it was, you know, I think somebody said once, like, when you have small children, it's not a vacation, it's just a relocation. And I very much felt that, because it was very fun, lots of memories made, but whew, exhausting.
Oh my gosh. When I had my 4-year-old grandson here a couple of weeks back, and he got off the playground at Irvine Park, and he just decided he was making a beeline for the street. And
oh my God.
I haven't run that fast in so long.
I know. We were better doing the things like hiking and stuff was okay, although we still needed like some extra coverage there. But we thought we would go explore Asheville, like the downtown area. And you just, I understand the leash people, because you just can't with him. Yeah, he tries. He doesn't understand the boundaries and the things. So
if that, or, you know, new parents need to be taught how to lasso. You know, and just rope them down if need be. Emily, how are you? I hope you don't have any equally precarious stories to tell us about saving toddlers from themselves.
I mean, no. Yesterday we were in the pool with my 5-year-old. So, you know, always have to have my lifeguard gear on. But I'm a little disappointed in Nicole and Kate. They didn't tell me it was official Motherhood for Good vacation week. I'm booked for August, but I held down the fort. You know.
See, somebody took care of that, and we appreciate that very much. Now, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to loop in Melissa Carr Tuttle from Moms Demand Action in Dane County to talk about gun safety. But we wanted to take a little extra time and kind of expand Motherhood Monday to talk about this vote in the middle of the night by legislative Republicans to kill Governor Evers' proposal to extend the Child Care Counts program. Kate, should we start with you and the importance of, no, let me do it this way instead. Instead of just saying, tell us about the importance of child care counts. We know this already. I'd actually like you to respond to something that the blog or social media account Wisconsin Right Now had to say. And it was something along the lines of, you know, liberals are upset because we don't want to spend millions of dollars to write checks to daycare centers during the pandemic. The pandemic is over. Move on to things that, how did they go? Time to stand on your own 2 feet or something like that. That was the message to daycare center operators, that stand on your own 2 feet. I can't imagine that's really what we want to think Republican legislators are thinking, but maybe they are.
It feels like they are. I mean, it's hard not to feel like, especially as a parent and a woman in this state, that like the blows just keep coming from this Republican-led state legislature. Yes, I mean, even though the health emergency of the pandemic is over, people are still reeling from the pandemic. They're still struggling. They're still trying to find their way. It wreaked havoc for a lot of people, whether it was in terms of health or in terms of job, in terms of finances. And what that extra funding did was throw a lifeline to some people and daycares and people in this profession that people realized was so desperately needed. And it is so expensive to get childcare in this day and age. And I only have one child in daycare. And it's even harder to like find a spot, find a slot, figure it out. So for them to just say, just figure it out, it feels like they're always just saying, just figure it out. And it feels really unfair because there's this thing that they put forth that really helped a lot of people, not only parents and families, but it helped give daycare workers who work so hard. I see their faces at the end of the day when I go pick up my child. It helped them get higher salaries as well. And everybody wins when this is in place more. And I think Senator Calderoy said, you know, the childcare industry is the industry that makes all other industries possible. People need reliable childcare for their kids to be able to work and contribute to the economy. And domino effect, domino effect, domino effect. So for them to sit, just say, figure it out, just, I mean, yeah, it doesn't feel great.
No, it does not. And Emily, I would imagine you have similar thoughts after talking to, you know, childcare providers and parents as well.
Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of young people, and I find myself, when they tell me they're expecting a baby, jumping from congratulating them to being like, are you on a wait list yet? You know, we live in a childcare desert in most of the state. And during the pandemic, for every one man that left the workforce, four women left. And they left because there was not good childcare options. And that has not gotten better. So the pandemic might be over, as they say, but this very significant issue in our state is not. And, you know, I can tell you, I have had friends who have gone the day they find out they're pregnant to get on lists. And here in Dane County, where we have so many young families, they are often having to ask employers to give them longer leaves, patchwork together care. And I'm not talking about for a week or two. I'm talking about for months until their kids can get into care. As I mentioned earlier, I have a five-year-old and we don't have child care for her next school year. I logged in at 4 o'clock the day that the registration came out, got all my documentation, everything ready. You know, I was more prepared than someone trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. And she is on every wait list and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I have the privilege of I can go and I can, you know, hire a nanny or do something like that. But it shouldn't be that difficult. And there shouldn't be this much stress in our families to give our kids what they basically need, which is good childcare.
Yeah, no, I my younger daughter, you know, her daughter is one and is still waiting on childcare because I believe the wait list was 2 years when she was newly pregnant. You know, that's how these things work. And yet these are solvable problems, you know, providing this kind of assistance so that childcare workers aren't working for poverty wages, so that childcare center operators stay in business. This is all doable, especially with a $7 billion state surplus. And so we heard over the weekend from Corinne Hendrickson from New Glarus. She's a childcare provider who testified before Congress. We had her on the program back in March, and she says, absolutely, there's going to be a lot of work to contact legislators and, you know, tell them that when the state budget gets to the full floor of the Assembly and the Senate, that childcare counts needs to be put back in. And Kate, I can imagine that a lot of the Motherhood for Good folks are going to be thinking the same way of giving that message to their legislators.
Yeah, I mean, people are very fired up about this. And I think that this is something that affects everybody. Like, it's not just a small subset of people. It's all families in Wisconsin. So we're trying to figure out, yeah, how to best mobilize our community to continue to make calls, but then also maybe take that up a notch and make reels or posts and tag your state legislatures or members from the Joint Finance Committee and really like get loud and tell these people that this is something that they need to move forward with. And it almost like stung a little bit more because I know obviously Governor Evers put forth this proposal in February. And then when it got through the review process started with the Joint Finance Committee, I know they gutted a lot of things right away. And this kind of, they didn't touch it right away and it sat for a while. And then I don't know what was going on behind the scenes that like they kept pushing it back on Friday night. But it almost felt like they were hearing people and maybe we're going to make save it. And so for them to ultimately cut it doesn't feel good. And there's still some time before this budget is finalized. So we're going to figure out how we can best mobilize our communities to make some noise. Cause yeah, we're mad.
Yeah. And Corinne Hendrickson actually has already put up a note on Facebook to organize a rally for tomorrow at the state capitol, 10 o'clock in the morning. So for those folks who can go, you know, working parents and childcare providers are already, you know, stretched thin enough. But for those people who can go to the state capitol at 10 a.m. tomorrow, she writes, we will rally to demand that Republicans commit to an amendment to the budget to include $340 million to continue childcare counts. They need to know the impact will be widespread. Parents, business owners, community members, this can and does impact you. Otherwise, our economy stands to lose all sorts of money as people, you know, can't work anymore in this. Emily, I'll give you the closing thought on this segment as far as what else we can possibly say to our neighbors or anybody to express how important it is that this program be saved.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people feel nervous about talking to people about politics, and that's what we do at Motherhood for Good is try to make them feel better. And I can't think of an easier gateway topic than this one. It warmed my heart. Our directors for our daycare actually sent a message out to all of the parents through our portal. They included a link through actionnetwork.org where it will actually send letters on your behalf. And so this is a really easy thing to post about, like Kate said, tag folks, but really I think the one-on-one connections, this is a great daycare pickup topic. This is something to text your mom and dad friends about. But like Pat said, it affects everyone. So let's just talk about this all week and call your reps, but also every single person on that Joint Finance Committee, particularly the Republicans. They need to hear from us, and they're the ones that can really make a difference here. So let's get loud.
Very much so. And we will talk to State Representative Jody Emerson at 7:30 tomorrow morning also about this topic. And you can call the legislative hotline at 800-362-9472. We're going to pivot to our next Motherhood for Good, Motherhood Monday segment on gun safety. Coming up next, you're up north. Tomorrow on the program, as I mentioned before, State Representative Jody Emerson at 7:30. At 6:30, Christina Lurie will be here with the Uplift, some of the more positive stories that she works on for the Daily Letter, daily newsletter put out by Up North News. And you can sign up for that over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Just click newsletter in the top banner. All right, Motherhood for Good and Motherhood Monday continues now. We still have Kate and Emily with us. We're being joined by Melissa Carr from Moms Demand Action in Wisconsin. So we will get to the topic of gun safety in just a moment. Though Aaron pointed out during the break, and I did want to say one more thing about the Child Care Counts program, that while Republicans did zero out the $340 million Governor Evers wanted to put in, Republicans did put in a $15 million revolving loan fund. Kate, I don't know that daycare centers, I don't know how you loan, you borrow and loan your way out of this particular crisis, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, it seems, did you ever watch Shark Tank? You know, when like Mr. Wonderful comes in with the worst actual deal he puts on the table, it kind of feels like that.
That's great. All right, let's pivot now to gun safety, because again, there is legislation, popular legislation under consideration, but it needs a lot of help to get to the finish line. Emily, tell me a bit more about that and introduce Melissa for us.
Yeah, sure. So earlier this month, it was Gun Violence Awareness Weekend, and that legislation came out last Tuesday, which we're really excited about. So we thought it was a good time to invite our friend Melissa from Moms Demand Action to talk about what we can do. So good morning, Melissa. Tell us a little bit about you and Wisconsin's Moms Demand Action Group.
Hi, Emily and Pat and Kate. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. You're right. This is so timely to discuss this today. So my name is Melissa Carr. I'm the volunteer deputy chapter lead for Wisconsin Moms Demand Action. And Moms Demand Action is a grassroots movement of Americans fighting for public safety measures that are very popular and that can protect people from gun violence. We have nearly 10 million supporters across the country and chapters in every state, including our very active chapter here in Wisconsin. We do work to elect gun sense candidates and pass stronger gun laws, which is what we're going to talk more about today. We also work within our communities, and we work to support local partners in our communities and their strategies, because often the people within the communities and on the ground are the ones that know what those neighborhoods need. And so we work with them to support their work. And we also promote responsible gun ownership and safe firearm storage, which are two of the most important things that we can talk about and really promote to everybody every day.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Could you talk a little bit about, and we've talked about this on our account too, but about the three new bills that the state legislature put forth last week and what those mean for people?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, thank you so much for the work you've been doing on Motherhood for Good to get the word out about this, because this legislation, there are three bills, is, like we've talked about, extremely popular, and it's so important to really rally around this and make sure that these get to a hearing and get passed. So the first one is background checks on all gun sales, which is a law that would close the loophole in the federal law that does not require background checks for guns sold by unlicensed gun dealers. So this is an obviously huge loophole where people can access firearms that they shouldn't potentially have. The second bill is an extreme risk protection order. This is also known as a red flag law, depending on where you live and what the state called it when different states passed it. And this is a law that can temporarily prevent someone in crisis from accessing firearms and keep that keeps them from harming themselves or harming others. And there's due process around this, and it's a law that's in effect in 21 other states and Washington, D.C. And the third bill is safe firearm storage incentives for gun safes, barrel locks, and trigger locks. And those would be sales tax exempt to just incentivize people to safely store their firearms. So these are all very common sense and life-saving laws. Research proves that these all save lives. And 80% of voters favor every one of these pieces of legislation. And so it's kind of astounding and difficult to know that we don't have these yet in Wisconsin. And that's why it's so important for us to work to get these passed. Like I said, the Extreme Risk Protection Order law is already in place in 21 states and Washington, D.C., and a background check law is too. And a lot of times these were passed in states while they had Republican leadership. So these are very common sense things that everybody can agree on, and we should be able to agree on them in Wisconsin too. So next steps. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just going to put in the aside on red flag laws that there is obviously a component to it related to domestic violence and to crime, but it is worth noting, not politicizing, just simply noting multiple law enforcement officers who have died, who have been killed in the line of duty by people about whom law enforcement knew that they were a danger, that they had guns, but Wisconsin does not have a red flag law that quite possibly could have prevented these law enforcement deaths. It is common sense beyond measure, not just for the general public, but especially men and women in law enforcement.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've seen that, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, where law enforcement officers have been killed by people who shouldn't have had firearms. And it's also really important to note that these bills can prevent suicide. And gun suicide is a huge problem in our state. And that's something that impacts people everywhere in our state. I know it's really easy for people to kind of assume that gun violence is an urban or a city issue, but it's not just there. It's everywhere. You know, suicides impact the entire state. And so it's really important for us to get these laws passed. So I just wanted to say that, you know, the next two steps for these is, number one, we need co-sponsors for these bills. That's really important, especially if we can get a bipartisan support for these bills, that, you know, kind of be the next step. And then we want hearings to be allowed for all of these bills in committee. And again, these will save lives. And I also wanted to note that co-sponsorship closes on June 26th. So it's really important that your legislators hear from you this week. So call every day, tell them that you want them to co-sponsor these bills and that you want that you support these bills. And ask your friends and family to make their calls as well. I heard one of you speaking earlier when I was in the waiting room about the child care credits, about how this is another great conversation to just have in daycare pickup line or camp pickup line, or just text your friends. Just send a text and say, hey, this is super important. Can you call your legislators, you know, today and hopefully tomorrow as well.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to note that while people may think, like, if they have Republican legislators that they're not going to listen to them or do anything, they may, and it's still worth calling. This is not just like a Democratic issue. Like Melissa was talking about, this has complete bipartisan support. You know, we can have the Second Amendment and still have people have the rights and make sure that guns don't get into the hands of the wrong people and harm innocent people, children, things like that. So really, this is something that everybody should be able to rally around. And when you're calling, even if they don't get on board with you, that calling still matters. We need to, in addition to pushing these bills, keep pushing the public opinion on gun violence. And I don't know about you guys, I feel it happening. I think there's a lot of, especially women, who are, this is their number one issue. This is going to turn them into single issue voters. I'm in networks with people who do similar work on like Instagram, like this down even in Texas. And they've said, you know, back in this last cycle, there were like staunch Republicans running for office who actually like removed their Second Amendment sections from the website and things like that, because they know that like this is going to be a single voter issue, single issue for people moving forward. And I think even like 10 years ago, there were some Democrats actually that had an A from the NRA, and that would never happen now. So all the work that we can do to call our legislators and talk to people, talk to friends about this and just keep moving this forward, I do think that we're going to get to a place in a few years where we're going to look back and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that wasn't supported immediately. So all of these conversations we can have, it keeps moving the needle forward. And that's what this is all about.
And I can't agree more as somebody who has been in that room that when you think everybody in your caucus, Senate Democrats, Senate, you know, Assembly Democrats, Assembly Republicans, Senate Republicans, when they're in one of those caucus rooms, they talk and they know that if something is really moving the needle on phones and email and everything, it does have an impact. It may not necessarily have the impact of that vote on that bill that day, but it also might, or lead to amendments, or just lead to a louder voice for those who want to make sure that people's voices are heard, Melissa. So there is nothing that should be assumed as this legislative session rolls on.
Yeah, exactly. And when you call, every single call is recorded. And so it's really important to know that, you know, like Kate was saying, even if they don't agree with you right off the bat or don't, you know, agree with this legislation, they do have to record your call. And so that shows that there's support. And remember that there could be people, unbelievably, that would be against this legislation and they might be calling too. So every single call is important. Every single call is counts and matters.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, that's what we tell people too. Like, you think the people on the other side aren't calling, they absolutely are calling and they're very, absolutely, very loud, but they do not represent what the majority of Wisconsinites and Americans want. So we need to make sure we're putting in the work as well and counteracting those voices.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like we talked about, so for the extreme risk protective order law, 83% of gun owners support that kind of legislation and 88% of non-gun owners. So it's wildly popular. And so we just, like you said, need to move that needle.
Emily, you've talked before about, you know, the original intent of Motherhood for Good is that, you know, getting people who are somewhat uncomfortable about politics. Is that, how has that worked with you? And I assume that you're going to be doing more of that, is trying to get people to make that very first call to a legislative office or something like that?
Yeah. And with this topic specifically, one of the ways I've seen it become a point of discussion, especially with moms I don't know very well, is one of the things that Moms Demand Action actually recommends for parents, which first time I did it, I felt a little bit uncomfortable with, which is when you're scheduling time for your child to go to someone else's home, ask about guns in their home. So regardless of legislation, we can take protecting our kids to our own hands. And I read something crazy. I think there's like 4.6 million children in America who live in a home that has a gun that's loaded and not safely stored. So while that legislation will incentivize that, it's not going to fix it. We can fix it just by, you know, hey, you want to have a play date? Yeah, sure. And then ask about, are there guns in your home? And are they locked? And what does that mean? I've started doing that and it felt a little uncomfortable or awkward at first, but I'll tell you, losing your child in that play date would be much more uncomfortable. And it started a discussion, right? And people have seen my shirt or whatever else. So we can take this into our own hands, but we can also model being protectors and activists for our children, and then others start doing it. And it doesn't feel political. It just feels like parenting.
Kate, can you take us to wrap things up, the Instagram Live you're planning for tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, so tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be talking to Mariah from Community Justice Action Fund. And we know that gun violence is a huge problem. It's going to take a while to really curb it and try to eradicate it. And even though a lot of the media attention is around mass shootings with assault rifles and things like that, the fact is that the majority of gun violence happens in Black and Brown communities. And there needs to be a lot of work done also around community violence intervention. And there are programs that they can do with people who are impacted in these communities, coming into these communities and proactively working with them to address violence at the root of the source. So we're excited to hear a lot more from them and how we can support their efforts. These programs always need funding as well. And it's a really important part of the strategy in helping curb gun violence in this country.
And Melissa, quickly, if other people want to know more about Moms Demand for Wisconsin, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can go to momsdemandaction.org and you can search for events in your area and go to the take action area of the site, sign up, put in your information, and then you'll be in touch and know when upcoming events will be in your area.
Okay. And we'll close with a note from Corinne Hendrickson, who is listening and saying, I can tell you right now, the loan program is a joke. You can't pay back a loan without the revenue. And that's the solution they're touting. We can't fill classrooms with teachers the way it is. More buildings will just be sitting empty. Moms are going to be busy this week. And thanks.
Yeah, we got a lot to
thank
do.
You, thank you, Melissa, Kate, Emily. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye. All right.
We will have three things you should know to start the week with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell after this. You're up north. I want to share one more comment from Corinne Hendrickson, who's watching on Facebook, and put this comment down. In 2007, there were more than 9,000 childcare businesses. More than 7,000 were family childcare and 2,500 group. Today, it's gone from 9,600 down to 4,200. That's a loss of 5,400 childcare. Right now, businesses are responding with more than 5,000 empty slots throughout the state. Those same businesses could be filled from their wait lists if they had teachers to open up the classrooms. The 541 businesses responding, 124 childcare businesses responded that they have shortened hours due to the lack of staff. This is a very real problem, which is why we're probably going to be focusing on it multiple times this week. But that's just part of what's being considered by the legislature, which is also talking about their shared revenue plan, their state budget. And of course, before that, you had the state party conventions, Democrats before, Republicans. Somebody's got to track all this stuff. And thankfully, we've got Terry Bell for that, Civic Media News Director, who's out there on University Drive in beautiful Madison. Terry, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. So in our weekly three things to know to start the week, one of those first things to know is that, you know, Republicans had their convention, and we would like to hear more about what they were talking about and strategizing for the coming year and into 2024.
Absolutely. Well, these conventions, the Democrats had their state party convention last week, and even though the elections are a little more than a year away, this is really the kickoff to the campaign season. The parties have their sights set on next year. The convention in La Crosse for the Republicans was notable for a couple of reasons. One was for the nine non-binding resolutions that they passed. Now, these don't carry any weight. These are not official party platforms or anything. But it does represent, where the rank and file is at and what they'll likely be expecting of their elected representatives in the weeks, months, and years to come. One is a resolution to dismantle the Wisconsin Elections Commission. The Republican Party has made election security a big issue for them, and they have made this agency that by all accounts is actually functioning pretty successfully. But nevertheless, they've made WEC a target of their ire and rather successfully among the base. Also, another resolution to curb or prevent college students from voting on campus. College students were a big driver for Democratic and progressive victories in recent elections. Republicans want to make college students vote in their hometowns, and that is put forward as a non-binding resolution. And also, they want to eliminate most forms of early voting, which is very interesting because party leaders, from Ron Johnson to Brian Schimming, have been out there promoting and urging early voting. They don't necessarily like it, but they understand that they have to engage with it if they want to be competitive in future elections.
Well, they've just got to determine if they want to be fact-based about this or not, that there is nothing irregular or corrupt about early voting. It was a convenient excuse that, Donald Trump threw out. And again, like something out of the Emperor's New Clothes, all of his supporters said, yeah, exactly, early voting is a problem when it actually is not. Same goes with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Not a problem. So you have people in the party who know these things, but it's really a matter of, well, do they say, well, what can we do? So they score political points by riding this wave, or do they actually stand up as the voice of reason? And you really see the party divides quite clearly when you see resolutions like that at the convention. Let's turn toward the resolutions. Well,
before we turn the corner there, Pat, one other notable thing at the convention was Donald Trump on the WisPolitics straw poll, which, again, is a very unscientific endeavor. But it does kind of put your finger on the pulse of where the base is at.
Yeah, they're still there with him at this point. I continue to add, many will still be there, but there are a lot of other folks in the party, again, people who used to be very close to him, former chiefs of staff, former defense secretaries, former cabinet officers, former attorneys, former attorneys general, saying, no, this guy is bad, don't support him. And whether that builds to a certain, you know, critical mass is what we're going to be watching so closely in the months to follow. All right, on to the bills that are being considered in the legislature. Of course, we had the shared revenue deal last week, the budget, certainly elements of it as we discussed today. So I'm sure there's going to be more activity this week.
Right. Now, shared revenue and the budget are two separate matters, but they really go hand in hand. And there was an historic development last week when Governor Evers and Republican leaders of the legislature struck a compromise on what would be in the shared revenue bill and what would not. It was debated rather vigorously over two nights in the legislature, and it is passed and it's on its way to the governor's desk, and includes such things. It does include the $275 million boost for local governments, but it also includes a lot of strings attached. For Milwaukee, putting 25 police officers in public schools, it would ban state funding for the streetcar. It would remove power from the police and fire commission. That's just in Milwaukee. Statewide, local governments would have to maintain a certain level of police and fire department staffing. They cannot consider race when awarding contracts. And also, there are restrictions on advisory referendums. It remains to be seen what Governor Evers may line item veto. I suspect it won't be a lot since he was there for the negotiations. So I would doubt he would, go back on anything he agreed to during those talks.
It's possible. It's also possible that he knows that he has that line item veto and allows something to pass. It's the whole unpredictability of the line item veto in Wisconsin, because it's so unique compared to other states that, one moment you think, well, is it going to be an apple or an orange? And by the time the line items are done, you've got a kumquat. It's always hard to know.
And there's budget work still to do. There's going to be a big meeting of the Joint Finance Committee taking care of some of the remaining items left to go. We're getting towards the end of the period where lawmakers really want to work on the budget. The University of Wisconsin system, a lot of higher education officials are going to be testifying at a Senate committee today about their funding. And that will probably, one thing that will be mentioned will be diversity, equity, inclusion. Republican leaders very much want those efforts defunded. Governor Evers says he'll veto the entire budget if that happens. So it'll be interesting today and tomorrow what happens with that.
And we'll conclude as we started the show, noting that today is Juneteenth in Wisconsin.
Yes, absolutely. It is a federal holiday, so no mail today. Your banks are probably closed, and some services will be not available. It's not a state holiday. Juneteenth is a holiday in 14 states, but not yet Wisconsin. However, some local communities recognize this as an official holiday. Madison and Dane County, to name a couple. I'm probably missing several others, and if I am, I apologize for that. But it's a slow progression, much like MLK, the recognition of MLK Day was.
Yeah, exactly. And in both cases, moments of both celebration and reflection. Yeah. Terry Bell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Hope you have a great day out there as well. Thanks so much for your time. State Representative Jody Emerson joins us tomorrow morning. Enjoy your Monday. See you tomorrow.